I prefer really not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble. In big trouble. And I don't want to be in big trouble.
Hello, welcome to another If I Speak. It is the 20th of June 2019. I wasn't planning on doing a show, but a lot has happened in the past couple of days. In fact, a lot has happened since I last recorded a show. I mean, even I've developed an accent when I say certain words. I don't know how that's happened, but hey. Thank you to everyone that tweeted me about the last show, especially Sean, @football_Sean1. I'm glad you enjoyed my polo anecdote, my friend. I promise I'll try not to be as graphic in the future, although I got a few laughs, so perhaps I might have to step it up, hey? What do you reckon? At this moment in time, I'm drinking a nice mug of peppermint tea. Yeah, I've been drinking coffee all day, so I'm pretty wired. I think peppermint tea is the only thing that really calms me down. In fact, it actually knocks me out. And when I was younger, say much younger, I used to rely on smoking a spliff before I went to bed. Yeah, I used to rely on it to get me to sleep. But now, I've seen the error in my ways, and I have resorted to drinking peppermint tea, and it is beautiful. I leave the tea bag in there as well. Not that I like being teabagged. I never have been. I promise. Never have been, never will. Each their own. Anyway, got a few things to talk about on this episode, but it's going to be Jesse Lingard heavy, unfortunately, because as you guys are probably aware, he's dropped another Snapchat video which has rattled a lot of United fans. A lot of United fans. It's actually made headline news. It's kind of overshadowed the Women's World Cup, the Copa America, the Under 21 World Cup, Brexit. It's overshadowed all of it. And I'm just going to chime in with my opinion on Jesse Lingard. Now, sit tight, because this might be a bit of a long one. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of a backstory, as if you didn't know. Now, Jesse Lingard is a product of Man United's youth academy. A failing youth academy at that, due to underinvestment. But we won't go into that one. We'll talk about that another time. He's had several loan deals while being under contract at United, and even Sir Alex said that he'll be a late developer. He'll probably become a standout player when he's 26, 27 years old. He made his debut under Van Gaal as a left wing back against Swansea. I remember he got injured that game, actually, and he missed a lot of that season. But his second season under Loopy Louis, was pretty decent. He had a good pre-season. He scored against Barcelona when we beat him 3-1. He scored in the 3-3 draw against Newcastle when he first introduced us to the dab. I know Paul Pogba was already doing it at Juventus, but Jesse decided to do it himself. And then, as you guys know, he scored the winning goal in the FA Cup final against Palace. Now, I think the turning point in Jesse Lingard's career... My phone is buzzing at the moment. People are just tweeting me because I've rattled some Norwegian female... Put my phone to one side here. Yeah, so I think the turning point in Jesse Lingard's United career was probably on the 10th of May 2016 when we played West Ham. It was the last game at Upton Park. We lost 3-2, but if you guys remember rightly, that game was actually delayed because West Ham fans attacked the United bus. And Jesse Lingard was videoing himself losing the plot when the bus was being attacked. He was kind of laughing. It was like a nervous laugh. He was screaming like a little girl. A lot of people found it funny. A lot of United fans found it embarrassing. And I think that's what kind of kicked it off with Jesse Lingard, because he saw what he was getting in terms of attention in the media or social media. And that may have been a little taste of what he was to expect in that realm, in the social media world, because I don't think he was that active on Twitter, on Snapchat and whatnot. So I think that's what kind of kicked it off for him, the kind of attention that he got from it. We know that he went out with Jenna Froomes, a very attractive young lady, But I think, as I said, I think that West Ham incident kind of lit a fuse in Jesse Lingard's backside. But, you know, we've seen the best and the worst of Jesse Lingard on social media. We've seen videos of him getting out of his car to kick a ball with local lads in Manchester. We saw Full-Time Devils where he was, I think his brother was being interviewed by Full-Time Devils after the semi-final of the FA Cup, and he was in the dressing room and he was, you know, doing a video call with them. But cast your mind back to the 2nd of December 2017. That is effectively when the J Lings brand kind of burst onto the scene. It was the goal against Arsenal where he did that Millie Rock celebration, and that really got people going. I don't know if you guys all remember this. There were memes, there was him dancing with other players and whatnot, and that blew up on social media. Now, I don't want you guys to think that I'm kind of like dissecting this too much or reading too much into it, but this is kind of like my interpretation of how things go, and this is how my mind works. And maybe it's just all coincidental that all of this has happened, but this is the way I see it. Personally, I think that goal against Arsenal, even though that celebration was probably premeditated, he was planning on doing that if he did score, but I don't think he realised how much traction or attention that that celebration would get on social media. Because that goal kind of skyrocketed his profile in terms of a social media perspective. And if you cast your mind back, 2nd of December 2017, he's put out a tweet saying, "At the Emirates, Millie Rock, hashtag squad goals." All right? That same day, he's retweeted an Adidas UK tweet, "London is Jesse Lingard's dance floor, hashtag here to create." Now, that was roughly when the new Adidas Predator boot had been relaunched. Paul Pogba was part of the campaign, Dele Alli, Mesut Ozil, and it was the hashtag here to create Adidas thing. Jesse Lingard is an Adidas athlete. So I think he was kind of using that to bolster his profile. Fast forward 13 days, his 25th birthday. All he's done is put out a tweet, hashtag JLings, and a birthday cake. And there's a photograph of him sitting on a stool. He's got his feet on another stool, and behind him are these big helium balloons in gold with JLings. And that is effectively when the JLings brand was kickstarted. And then from then, you see tweets with him doing his celebration. You know, he puts his hands in front of his face to do the JLings celebration. And again, keep trawling through his social media, his Twitter. Every time there's a goal, he celebrates, he, you know, takes a picture, but hashtag JLings. And practically everything that he does related to social media, he puts down hashtag JLings. And that is him getting his brand out. There was that Wakanda celebration against Chelsea, hashtag JLings. I think Bleacher Report did a photograph of him standing in front of Paul Pogba, and they put out something along the lines of "celebrate like Jesse Lingard." He retweeted that. Little things here and there. So he's obviously building on what he did at Arsenal and trying to get that JLings brand up. If you go back to his tweets, all the way back to the 10th of March 2018, he puts out a tweet, "Rash Beans," and then he adds Marcus Rashford. So this is going to lead up to that video that he dropped the other day where he was beatboxing and saying "beans, beans, beans." There's obviously a story there. I don't know the joke. I don't get it, to be honest. But I don't know. Is he calling Marcus Rashford a runner bean because he's so quick? I don't know. I don't know. But again, even on Mother's Day, 11th of March 2018, he's put out a tweet. He's got a photograph of him and his mum. "Happy Mother's Day to my queen. You deserve everything and more. Hashtag JLings." So again, he's putting out these tweets, using that hashtag. Lots of photographs of him doing that JLings celebration where he puts his hands in front of his face, whether it be for England, whether it be for United. He puts out a tweet about Rio Ferdinand, joking about with him, and it's growing. This brand is growing. And all of this is a build-up to him releasing his clothing line. in the meantime, he's building his profile. You know, he's doing a video with Avelino talking about football, talking about music on for Unscripted. He did another promotional video for the for Adidas in May 2018, Here to Create, when United released the blue away kit, which obviously they wore in the win against Arsenal, where he did his Michael Jackson celebration. And again, from time to time, he would just put out a tweet, whether it be in training, he'll be doing the J-Ling's goal celebration in front of his face. He did a video again for Unscripted, the lie detector test. So again, slowly, slowly, Jesse Lingard is using different outlets to build his brand, to build his image, to build the J-Ling's product, you know. And to be fair on the lad, while people are saying that this is cringeworthy, everything that he does, you need to look at the timeline. You need to look at how he's been developing himself, his profile, his brand, everything. Whether it be a photograph of him sitting on a couch wearing glasses or braces or wearing outlandish clothing. All of this is to build up his profile, to build up his brand. Going back to that celebration against Arsenal, another thing that I failed to mention, he was at a promotional event not too long after the celebration, and he was there with Cheeky Sports Joel. I don't know if you guys remember this. He was doing a Michael Jackson dance-off with Joel. Now, don't forget, Joel has got a big social media presence. So that form of collaboration there, don't be surprised if he's gained some followers or gained some fans on the back of that. You just never know. Now, let's be 100% honest here. I'm not a massive fan of all of this, but at the same time, we need to understand that this is how football is going now. Footballers are trying to market themselves as a brand, and it goes back to the article I wrote about David Beckham and Paul Pogba and the comparisons, how David Beckham was like the original brand, you know, and the way that his management were marketing him. I mean, let's be honest, David Beckham before France 98 was photographed wearing a sarong in public. A sarong. And the amount of homophobic abuse that he was receiving, even though he's not homosexual, he was getting all sorts of abuse. Now, if Jesse Lingard came out wearing a sarong, can you imagine what kind of stick he'd get, even to this day? So I can see where all of this is leading. Again, go back to his Twitter account and see the timeline. Look at all of these images that he's doing. Even during the World Cup, you know, he was doing interviews with Copper 90, a company that's well known for targeting a specific demographic. He was doing work for the FA on their YouTube channel, more work for Unscripted. And again, every now and again, before an England game, he'd be doing an interview, he'd be doing promotional stuff, again, building the brand. In fact, a United fan, or a fan, got the Jesse Lingard J-Ling's logo tattooed on his ankle. So, as stupid as it sounds, people are lapping it up. Every tweet Jesse Lingard would do, he'd always put J-Ling. So there was one where he did on the 19th of June during the World Cup. Recovery Day, don't worry, Youngie, which is for Ashley Young. I've got you. He's taken a photograph of Ashley Young. And he's done that hashtag J-Ling's photography. So he's getting it out there. Whether it be him, whether it be his social media team, there's someone there that's advising him or doing all sorts of things to get his profile out in the open. In fact, as early as last October, he's doing work with FIFA 19, with EA Sports, to promote FIFA 19. He's doing promotional stuff there, Champions League goals recreated contests, all that kind of stuff, aiming his brand at a specific demographic. Now, let's not make any bones about it. Jesse Lingard, whether you find him funny, whether you find him a clown, whether you think that he's cringeworthy, whoever is advising him, they're doing everything down to a T. He's got a target audience. As you can see from the video against West Ham, which I mentioned earlier, the kind of people that were reacting to it, whether they be youngsters or people with a young mentality, so to speak, they were lapping it up. The Millie Rock celebration against Arsenal, the banter era, all that kind of stuff. The goal against Arsenal, the celebration where he did the Michael Jackson dance. In fact, he rattled Arsenal fan TV to the point where they were making videos about him, further increasing his brand. I mean, it's genius. When you score a goal against a team that has the most unhinged, rattled fan base, they're going to bite. And he's exploited it. So what he's doing now on social media is, in fact, a continuation of what he was doing before. He's already got the traction. People know who he is. All the clothes that he's wearing, all the things that he's doing, he's getting that attention. I'm sure you lot are aware of the term, any publicity is good publicity. He can go out wearing clothes that people deem as foolish or make him look like an idiot. But the way that he's constantly building his profile, getting his name out there, getting his brand out there. You can just imagine in a few months' time when the J Ling's clothing line reaches Spain and, you know, little Pedro is sitting there and he's going, "Mama, mama, quiero la ropa de Jesse Lingard." Or maybe, I don't know, Patrick in Le Côte d'Ivoire saying, "Mama, je veux les vêtements Jesse Lingard." That's the best I can do when it comes to French. So all these different nationalities, all these different kids from all over Europe, all over the world, he wants them to be buying his products. And why not? If Jennifer Lopez can sell, I don't know, her sweat in a bottle and call it, I don't know, perfume, why not? Why can't Jesse Lingard sell his stuff? So everything that he's doing now, he's trying to build his brand. He's got a YouTube channel out. So what he's doing, he's basically amalgamated his brand with social media. And you're going to see more and more of these videos purely because it's building up his brand. It's building up his reputation. It's building everything towards the whole package. But people are sitting there on social media lambasting the guy saying, "Oh, he's this, he's that." And people sitting there saying, "Oh, it's a cultural thing. They're attacking his culture." No, they're not attacking his culture. In fact, they're buying into the culture that he's creating. His culture. From a social media perspective, from a brand perspective, that's his culture. It's very interesting how people are spinning narratives or creating narratives and saying things to fit an agenda. Some people are saying that the abuse that he's getting is racist. Well, yeah, I'd say quite a bit of it is racist. But at the same time, you got people from an older generation that don't agree with what he's doing because it is cringeworthy. It is, let's be honest, it is cringeworthy. But at the same time, this cringeworthy stuff is something that perhaps a teenager finds hilarious. I'm sure you guys have heard of KSI, the FIFA player. One of the funniest videos I've ever seen on YouTube is of him playing FIFA and selling Robin Van Persie, because Van Persie joined Man United in real life and he got so pissed off. He was saying that Nicholas Bentner's better than you, he's got better stats, and it was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. But that's what sells. And KSI's got, what, 12 million, 14 million subscribers on YouTube? He's driving a Lamborghini. He's doing rap videos with Waka Flocka. And that's what it is. It's a new generation. Back when I was younger, okay, in the 90s, we didn't have all of that. So now when people turn around saying, "Oh, why is he doing all of these goal celebrations?" Because people talk about it. Because he gets his name out there. I remember when Ryan Giggs and Paul Ince were doing a goal celebration. No one was saying anything then, but that's because United were winning trophies. When Lee Sharp was doing his Sharpie shuffle and doing Elvis impersonations by the corner flag when he scored goals, people weren't saying anything. They found it amusing. But they accepted it because it was new, it was fresh, it was the 90s. And on top of that, United were winning things, as I said before. Jesse Lingard doing a video with his mates in a hotel room is nothing new. Is nothing new. I bet you there are loads of VHS tapes out there of footballers, black and white, mind, from the mid-90s, the late-90s, doing all sorts of stuff. Like you lot ain't ever heard of Napa. I bet these guys were playing Soggy Biscuit back in the day. So all of this media furore, these people getting on Jesse Lingard's back about, you know, him behaving a certain way. Well, he's doing it intentionally. I highly doubt that he was behaving this way in front of Jennifer Rooms. It's all in front of a camera. It's a bravado. It's an act. I don't know Jesse Lingard personally, but the people that I know that know him are actually quite surprised with the way that he's behaving. Because that's not him. Yeah, he's a prankster, he's a bit of a lad. But he's turned it up to 100 in front of a camera. And that's what you have to do. You have to placate to people. If you want to get noticed, you have to do outlandish stuff. Look at South Park. Look at South Park. Look at Family Guy. So many things that they do that's so close to the knuckle. But it's sensationalism. It's what gets attention. That's how to do it. Look at Piers Morgan, the things that he says on TV. Look at Donald Trump. If these guys were just so conservative and didn't say anything, no one would care about them. But they have to say things and behave a certain way because it's a persona. And if Jesse Lingard's brand or his clothing line is to flourish or to thrive, he has to behave this way. That's just how it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been his biggest critic but in the past. You know, I said, you know, he didn't do enough, and for him to behave in this way, I don't agree with it. But you just got to come to terms with it, regardless of whether a player is doing well or not. That's how they're going to be. If they're serious about their brand, then that's how they're going to behave. Win, lose or draw, unfortunately. That's just how it is. So what Jesse Lingard is doing isn't anything different to what other people have done or what other people are going to do. It wouldn't surprise me if Marcus Rashford starts doing stuff like that later. You know, we've already seen him with that chain with the word Rashi on. Don't be surprised if he creates a brand soon, Rashi. You know, he might release footwear or he might release, I don't know, headphones or something. I don't know, just, you know, throwing shit against the wall, hope it sticks here, you know. So again, I don't agree with what Jesse Lingard is doing. I don't think his performances on the pitch have been good enough for him to turn around and behave this way, because if he was getting 20, 30 assists a season, for example, and getting 15, 20 goals as an attacking midfielder, then you could say, go ahead, Jesse. Why not? But he isn't. And United are languishing mid-table, or sixth in the table, should I say. There's uncertainty over the transfers. Fans are getting frustrated. And of course they're going to take it on Jesse Lingard. Don't get me wrong, Jesse Lingard isn't a saint. Putting out a tweet, paying tribute to the kids that lost their lives in the Manchester bombings, and then putting his logo across it hasn't done him any favours. You know, putting out a tweet, doing something similar during the Munich memorial, well, not a clever thing to do. Doing a video saying YouTube isn't ready for me the day after United lose against Cardiff City, again, hasn't done him any favours. But listen, at the end of the day, that's the way that football's gone right now. And the older heads, unfortunately, we need to accept it. Whether we like it or not, that's just the way it's going to be. The guy needs to improve his brand. He needs to get that awareness out there. And the more stupid videos he does, the more comical videos he does, the more he behaves the way that he is, the more attention he's going to get. And that's just how it is. Oh, bloody hell, I've been rambling on for 23, 24 minutes. Okay, I'm going to do this as quick as I can. Next story. Craig Bellamy. He is back in business, isn't he? He's got a new job. And he has joined Vincent Kompany at Anderlecht. So, yeah, he signed a 3-year contract to join their coaching staff. Now, if you guys remember, Craig Bellamy left his role as Cardiff City's youth coach because he was accused of bullying players. I'm not sure how he's going to treat the under-21s at Anderlecht. But, hey, listen, second chances and all that, and perhaps Craig Bellamy has learnt from his experiences, and even the club's youth director has lauded him, saying that he's got lots of experience and he'll be a great mentor for the youth players. So, yeah, maybe Craig Bellamy could help Anderlecht's youth team develop. Hopefully their neck won't be as small as his. But all jokes aside, Craig Bellamy was a very good footballer. Blessed with a lot of pace, a lot of skill. And I seem to remember before he was at Liverpool, I think it was during his time at Norwich, he did an interview and he was saying that he liked to see other teams or go to watch games of football just to study strikers. How they moved off the ball, how they read the game, and he would study them. And as much as Craig Bellamy has been a bit of a shithead, a bit of an arrogant twat, you can't question his footballing ability or when he was a footballer. He scored a lot of important goals, did very well practically every club he went to. I don't think he had a bad stint anywhere, did he, really? If anyone wants to correct me, then so be it. From a coaching perspective, I don't know too much about him, but hey, Vincent Kompany's obviously identified him as a key figure that could help him at his time at Anderlecht. And I also think that Simon Davis, who was at City, the head of the academy coaching, he's actually going to Anderlecht as well. So there's a big, strong Man City influence there. So, yeah, interesting times ahead for the Belgians. Story number three. Now, this is a bit of a weird one. David Turnbull. Ever heard of him? Well, he plays for Motherwell. And a few days ago, there was a tweet that was put out from Celtic saying that they couldn't come to an agreement with the player because they wanted to sign him, but they couldn't have come to an agreement with him, and that they weren't going to pursue the deal. Lo and behold, he could be announced as a signing on Friday morning. Now, I know Norwich City were interested in signing him. He's an under-21 international for Scotland, but it seems that whatever has happened with his agent and Celtic and himself, they've come to an agreement and he's going to Celtic. So, yeah, it's a bit of a weird one because wasn't Mo Johnson unveiled as a Celtic player and then he ended up at Glasgow Rangers? So that could have been quite an embarrassing moment for Celtic. So, yeah, a bit of a strange one there, but I'm pretty sure the player got his own way in terms of how much he wants. So, yeah, good luck to the lad. It's a big club, Celtic. Regardless of what anyone says about the SPL, Celtic are a huge club. And if any team can get the best out of a young Scottish player, it's Celtic. Right, I've got just one more story. I'm absolutely knackered. It's 10 past midnight. And I probably shouldn't be doing shows when I'm running on empty. But that Jesse Lingard one really took out everything. In case you guys didn't know, there's a certain football tournament happening in France at the moment. It's the Women's World Cup. And a Brazilian lady called Marta has now scored 17 goals in all the World Cups that she's competed in. And a lot of these media outlets are very, very kind to remind us that she scored more goals in World Cups than Miroslav Klose, Ronaldo, as in R9, and Gerd Müller, and TalkSport even put a new name at the top with some applause. Now, listen, let's just calm down here, okay? Because, as I said before, this women's football agenda, it's snowballing out of control now, okay? You cannot compare women's football with men's football. And to say, or to insinuate, that this Marta, even though it's a fantastic achievement, I'm not taking anything away from her, you cannot tell me that her 17 goals are better than Miroslav Klose's and Ronaldo's and Gerd Müller's. I'm sorry. It's just, I don't know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, Grant Wall, bless him, he put out a tweet saying, men, and it's all dudes, seem to be bothered by saying Marta now has the most World Cup goals of any man or woman, which is, you know, an ironclad fact. Grant, stop pandering. Stop pandering to them, okay? You know full well, that this statistic is asinine, to say the least. You are pandering to the PC brigade. I see Bleacher Report. Marta is now the all-time World Cup goalscorer. The cheek of it. Three stripes live. Marta, the most goals of any man or woman in World Cup history. The obvious choice for this week's Breaking Barrier Spotlight. Are you serious? You are doing, these outlets are doing all they can to denigrate the man's game. That's what they're trying to do. And I know people are going to say to me, well, that's what the men have been doing to women's game for years, and now it's our turn. No, this is ridiculous. Do not come at me with these ridiculous stats. I'm not having this. I'm not having this at all. So you mean to tell me if I don't know, Christine Sinclair scores 20 goals in this World Cup, she'll be the all-time goal scorer out of all the World Cups. So she'll be better than Ronaldo, than Gerd Müller, then Just Fontaine, then Pele, then Maradona. Give me a break. Please stop this agenda before you make yourselves look stupid. You're making yourselves look like idiots. Bleacher Report. No one scored more World Cup goals than Marta. And then they list all of the previous top goal scorers. And they also include other females as well. Anyway, I'm done because I'm tired. And then when I'm tired, I get even more ratty. As I said before in the previous podcast, I get ratty when I'm tired. So yeah, if you enjoyed this podcast, if you didn't enjoy this podcast, feel free to at me, at Uncle Stel. If you don't like the podcast, please feel free to at Shoot Defence. So until next time, good night, ladies and gents.